Welcome to the Clear Shots Podcast with Seth Skinner and Jake Jones.
Hey guys, you're about to hear part two of episode 57. Enjoy.
I don't know which Norm MacDonald joke I want to steal and use on Cody right now, because there's two that I really fucking like a lot.
Yeah, I'll pretend
I do. Do you have to steal one and use one?
I will. I will, because I've already used both of them before.
Oh.
And they're not. Whatever.
Wait, it was Bucky Weinstein?
Oh, no, the Bucky Goldstein one was a Stephen Wright joke. Have you heard that one?
Okay, yeah.
Have you heard that one?
That one line in Son of a Bitch.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
I think I told that one when we were sitting around the fire at Halloween at the Berlin house.
Yeah, that was the first time I heard it. But then
he just catches you off guard, that's all.
Yeah, he's
so good. He sets you up for like...
Oh my God,
he's a day.
Good. Yeah.
And then
he knows which way you're thinking.
Wait, Norm or Stephen Wright?
Well, all of them, really.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the basics of it. Is like, make everyone think you're going one way, and then with the punchline, just go the other.
Yeah.
Pull it like at the last second, you know.
I'll do one of each. The Stephen Wright joke that Cody loves is...
he's just doing other people's jokes.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a flying fuck. Dude, if Shinedown is allowed to win an award for covering fucking Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, then I should be allowed to tell another comedian's joke while giving them credit.
It wasn't Shinedown, it was...
Disturbed, whatever.
Yeah. That was the Sound of Silence.
Sound of Silence. Yeah. If Disturbed can get an award for doing the Sound of Silence, then I should be able to freely tell a joke while also giving the comedian credit. Am I right? Am I right, audience? Thank you. Looks into
anything.
The camera.
They didn't say anything, but...
So basically, Stephen Wright has this joke... where he's like, yeah, so I was on a bus the other day, and this woman gets on after me, and she sits next to me, this beautiful blonde Asian woman. And I notice we're going across town, we're sitting on this bus, we're going across town, and I look over to her, and she's just been staring straight ahead the entire time we've been on the bus. And I look over at her, and I go, excuse me, I go, is everything all right? You look like something's bothering you. And she looks at me and she goes, well, to be honest, there is something bothering me, but I don't really know who you are, so I don't really feel comfortable telling you what's going on. And I looked at her in the eyes and I said, well, sometimes it's very helpful to tell your personal problems to a complete and total stranger on a bus. She said, okay. She goes, well, to tell you the truth, I just got back from a psychoanalyst, and he diagnosed me with a new condition. And I said, what could that be? She goes, oh, well, I'm a nymphomaniac that is extremely attracted to Jewish cowboys. And I looked at her and I said, wow, that's a doozy. And I go, I don't know how you're going to be able to deal with that. But, you know, I wish you luck on your journey and, you know, dealing with this problem you have. And I go, by the way, miss, what's your name? She reaches her hand out, shakes my hand. She goes, oh, my name's Diane. And I said, well, nice to meet you, Diane. My name is Bucky Goldstein. I totally butchered the shit out of that, by the way.
It's fine, yeah.
But it's
you
fine.
Pretty much had exactly what he said.
Yeah. No, but then the Norm ones, I love the moth joke, and I love the fucking, oh my God, the logic, the professor of logic joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
The professor of logic joke is great.
Yeah, you must be one of them gays.
Have you heard that one?
I think I have.
That's, definitely.
That was what cued me into my memories.
I feel like I totally told you that one where he's like, he does the whole logic equation.
Yeah, the doghouse.
He's like, oh, do you own a doghouse? Oh, yeah, well, if you own a doghouse, you own a dog. And if you have a dog, you have a family. And if you have a family, you're married. And then he goes to do it to one of his friends, and he goes, oh, well, I got a question for you, Cody. Do you own a doghouse? And he's like, no. And he goes, oh, you must be one of those fags. But you've never heard...
I mean, he's right. Like, you're right.
You've never heard the moth joke before.
No.
Really? All right. So a moth walks into a podiatrist's office.
Strapping in.
A moth walks into a podiatrist's office.
Might as well just
office.
Put the seatbelts on and just hold on. Hold on to the oh shit bar.
Jokes!
Dude, the oh shit bar is great. I'm actually going to read it off because I cannot think. God, I'm just... I'm going to
laugh. Post the transcript.
Yeah, I'm going to pull out the transcript right now. And I fucked it up already. It doesn't even matter.
You busted it.
I fucking fucked it up.
You blew it.
What's your what's that wrench plant thing? Is there significance for it?
Yeah.
What's the meaning?
It's from a book a long time ago, written in the 60s, called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And it's a book about philosophy.
Huh.
And basically, it's a story. The storyline goes, I haven't read this book in a long time.
For those who can't see, it's a wrench coming out. It's like a blooming wrench.
It's like a wrench coming out of a banana peel.
Yeah.
It's not like a crab.
It'd be great if I was still eating that banana. It's, it's a corn husk.
Yes.
So, the story is, long story short, is a father and son going cross-country on a motorcycle with their family friends. So there's like father, son, and then a married couple, family friends of theirs, and they're going cross country. Okay. And then at the same time, the author, who's the dad in this scenario, is talking about quality of life, what it means to build something, what it means, like, and just layers and layers and layers of
the life. Satisfaction you get and stuff like that from building.
Yeah. So, like, peace, that's what I get from it. That's why I got this tattoo, was finding peace in, like, doing something with your hands, or being creative, or it's finding being happy and doing what you do.
Yeah.
And so the corn husk and the wrench, how it's like you're finding meaning in a way. So you open up like the corn husk and you find something mechanical. So the wrench means mechanical, the corn husk being organic means romantic. So I always used to use the example of like a jukebox or something, iPod, whatever. The inner workings of the jukebox. And then the music that comes out of it, the music's the romantic part.
Right.
Of course, mechanical is mechanical.
Yeah, okay.
But how those two things meld together in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like also the contradictory part.
Yeah, I like the contrast between the two.
It's like, that's what I'm thinking all the time. It's like there's this battle of like
technology, mechanics, versus natural like states and things like that. I think like that it makes me think about like what we've done to what is essentially just a natural world, the way humans have affected it and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just with inventions and the way we automate things, I think it does more harm than good. It's for convenience of humans, really, is what it is.
Convenience is nice. It's like a double-edged sword, though.
Right.
It's like, it makes you... It's like with cars and stuff that have more safety features, makes a more dangerous driver.
Yeah.
But it's also nice having stuff like this, like the podcast or YouTube, whatever.
That's the thing, is when you start like leaning on safety, you get a little less less careful. You become more careless when you do things because you know that there's a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool because, like, the stuff that we're building gives us more freedom.
Yeah.
And you can always, like...
It also makes things more accessible. It's like you can get across the country in a car in a couple days,
mm-hmm.
you know? And with a fucking plane, it's like you're there in a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's like that shit wasn't possible before that. Would have taken you a damn long time.
And that's where the romantic part comes. Like the romance of flying and the ability to be able to see somebody that you haven't seen in such a long time because of things that we've built.
Right.
And the quality of those things.
Yeah. Well, even nowadays, just seeing somebody across the country, it's like as easy as pushing a button on your phone. Mm-hmm. You can pull it up and their face is there. You're talking to them.
Oh, it's your window.
Some wind.
That's pretty cool. It kind of like adds some like chimes to our like dramatic like a, conversation.
Yeah. It's a...
What's that, macaroni?
It's a mental stimulant.
Okay. A macro stimulant. It's a
mood thing. But yeah, it's like, I feel like we just do fucking so much damage. And the thing is, like, the world isn't gonna get better at this point. Like, the only way we can fix, like, the shit we've done to this planet is to all unify, basically.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, it's really hard.
The world has to all decide, like, hey, we need to do something about what we're doing to nature.
Yeah.
Because we don't care. Like, as long as we're, as long as for our lifespan we're in a convenient place and things are easy for us, that's what we care about. I don't think people think about the future at all. Technology moves wicked fast, too. It's only been, like, a couple of years since we had computers. Like, it was in my lifetime.
That's true. It's like it doubles. It's like the computer's invented, and then suddenly time, like, doubles in speed. Yeah. Because, of course, more exposure, communication's faster. Yeah. And then we're learning.
Yeah, I was thinking about the other day, like, we don't really adapt to the way, like, to technology as fast as technology improves. So, like, we're still not used to Twitter and things like that, like, exactly. How to use it.
Like, we have all this shit at our disposal, like a common person, but of course we don't know how it works.
Like, it would take a few years for us to adapt to the way that works. But now you get so much shit, like, outrage and shit over social media because we're not adapted to it yet. If you give it a couple years, maybe we'd start to understand how to use it better.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen? The problem is, technology keeps moving super fast and we can't adapt to it at that speed, so it's just gonna eventually just get too far to where technology is just fucking us. It's already at that point. We've given everyone a voice, and the loudest people are the people who are upset about things and people who are just mad. It's like, you don't, it's like when you see a review for most things on the internet, most of the time you're gonna review it because you don't like it.
That's true. I thought about that. It's like, reviewers are either the coolest person in the world or the shittiest.
Yes.
It's like, this thing, whatever it could be.
Right. Like, most people...
Oh, I hated it.
Yeah. It's like, if you like something, you're like, oh, that was cool. And then you're not going to go post about it. Mm-hmm. If you have a bad experience at a restaurant or you don't like a movie, then you're more likely to be upset about it and go post about it.
Yeah. And I think that's what's, like, the negativity... is because things are getting better, actually.
Sure.
But that's not what's on the front lines of anything.
It's not the way it's presented. Yeah.
Because there's like extreme poverty is lower, the percentage is lower, shit like that. Like, that's just an
example. News cycle is like bad news. There's no good news.
Yeah, because it's exciting or some shit.
And it also gets people riled up, it gets people engaged. No one gets engaged when people are like, well, people are doing good. It's like,
okay, sweet. I'm gonna do something else.
Yeah.
That, in the perfect world, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And just checking on everybody. All right, everybody's good. Cool. I'm gonna go do something else.
Yeah. And it's like this make America great again. It's like, well, guys, it's pretty good right now.
That's true.
What do you mean again? Yeah. And when was it better than this? When did when were we able to just Google anything we want and get the information immediately?
That's what it comes down to, right? It's like not taking shit for granted.
Right. And that's kind of what it is, though. Everybody's doing that.
It's like, because technology is moving so fast that as soon as you're born, you're spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got everything at your fingertips.
And also, people look fondly at the past, always. It's a nostalgia thing. Mm-hmm. They go, well, that's the way it used to be, and we liked it that way.
I heard, like, psychology lectures and stuff, that you'll remember stuff and you'll add stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, when you remember something,
it's kind of manufactured in your mind sometimes. Yeah,
it's just you remembering the last time that you remembered.
Yeah.
So you're just adding a little piece, a little grain of salt or something.
That's cool. Why sometimes when you don't see, like, if you don't see somebody for, like, 6 years and you both have a memory of something that happened, a lot of times like somebody will be like, oh yeah, and then this happened also, but like the other person will be like, no, I don't remember that, like, because like there's certain things that either they're making up or they actually had embedded into their mind and the other person didn't. There's certain moments that you kind of take a mental snapshot of too, but there's definitely a lot of memories that you can manufacture. Especially when, like no one remembers shit from when they're 5 years old. It's like, if you do, it's something super traumatic or, like, super important to you.
Yeah.
And even then, okay, it's really blurry.
True.
Like, it's just little snapshots. Like, yeah. I remember certain, like, almost screenshots of what was happening.
True. I remember smells.
Yeah.
Of things. Like, a certain tree. Yeah. Or my mom, when I was a kid, would always come in. Especially when it's cold. Because you know how you can smell snow when you're a kid?
Yeah, and it's like last night when I opened the window, I smelled. Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, I wonder what they were doing like out there.
Well, it's like right now when spring is just starting to happen, you can smell the springtime. There's a smell of it. And it brings memories to you because you remember associating that. And smells are very strong for that too.
Yeah.
Like aromas are very connected to your memories.
Right.
More so than, like, you know, music does that too.
Okay.
Pretty hard.
Oh, right. I saw a documentary one time where they were hanging out with, like, dementia patients. And they would play music from when they were young and then start snapping memories back like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't even talk. And then they hear jazz and suddenly they're just telling stories.
Yeah. There's certain songs I can listen to now that I like listened to in middle school or like early high school, and I'll remember certain certain days when I was listening to that song and feeling a certain way. So that song becomes a channeling for that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It also brings back those memories, good or bad.
True.
You know, there's like certain albums that I listen to at certain points in my life, and I'll be like, oh shit, like that's, I remember that, this is what I was doing at this point in time.
You kind of feel like you're there again, right?
Yeah.
That's why Pink Floyd is so beautiful to me, dude,
because it has a emotional connection to you, or a memory connected to it.
Yeah, Pink Floyd especially, because I love that I hear like the last sentence and I feel like you guys are talking about, like,
we're talking about like how music,
being retrospective about music, and how music has this like connection with you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like commandeer it.
No, man.
No, Pink Floyd.
Go back to the bathroom, dude. Jeez. Dude, we were talking about smells.
You want to talk about smells, dude. I had one of those poops that like you can hear it squishing out of your ass while you're doing it.
Dang.
It's just like,
oh yeah.
Is that that strawberita that you had before?
It was a limerita, but no, it's probably the limeritas I had yesterday. Because I bought a 12-pack of them for $9. They were the 8-ounce cans. But no, Pink Floyd has this connection with me because that's a band that, like, my dad is a diehard Pink Floyd fan. Probably likes Pink Floyd more than he likes the Cowboys.
Then he loves you.
Probably likes Pink Floyd more than he loves me. And I never got into them until my dad bought me an iPod for Christmas or my birthday. I got an iPod from him. And he put the music on it. And he perfectly catered it to be like, you know, it was like The Doors, like Pink Floyd, Rush, The Chili Peppers, Nine Inch Nails.
Sweet.
And I just remember thinking Pink Floyd was badass because my dad listened to it, you know, my older cousins, you know, Brian and Drew and, you know, Wesley listened to it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like 11 or 12 and I finally listened to Dark Side of the Moon for the first time, had headphones on.
Yeah.
And like, it just brings me back to like, you know, holy shit, like this is just, I didn't know it was possible to do what they did. I said that before. The things that Pink Floyd did back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s are things that bands still can't do now because they don't have that kind of imagination.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd is the biggest one.
It's weird because the best thing to do is be your own influence, and I think they did that.
Yeah.
they didn't really take too much from other bands, you know.
No.
Like, but the thing is, when you grow up listening to music, you're gonna take influences whether you want to or not. Like, yeah, you're just naturally gonna take them.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, if you were to start a band right now, you might take cues from Pink Floyd, because
oh, for sure,
being yeah, an impressionable age, like at 11. I remember when I was 11 and I heard Stairway to Heaven for the first time.
Seven times
in a row I listened to that song. I was like,
oh my God, yeah. You were like blown away because you were like,
in my mind,
how the fuck did they think of this?
Yeah.
And Stairway for me reminds me of the first time I smoked weed, because I listened to that song the first time I smoked weed. Yeah. And so that was like, it's that memory that's etched in there when I listen to that song.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it doesn't matter where I am when I hear that song, it brings me back to that. In a fucking
yeah,
a shed, like the upstairs of a shed, with Beefy, with like a little TV and a lamp.
I remember that.
Why is it always the sketchiest places?
Yeah,
your first time is always shed, in the sketchiest fucking yeah, places.
My first time smoking pot was in the whole with house, anything, so really, I don't know what so, you guys are talking
well,
about.
Oh, okay. That was the best place.
I lucked out because I was like 14 or 15. My first time smoking pot
you
was with
son of a bitch,
fucking Wes and Polly.
How did you get so lucky?
The thing is, if that wasn't
I was
Wes's,
drunk.
Yeah, nice.
I got drunk at a friend's house at like 14 during Christmas break, and Wes called me out of nowhere and was like, hey, we're driving around town, you want us to pick you up? And I was like, yup.
Yeah.
And he picked me up, and I called my dad, and I was like, hey, I'm not at Chris's anymore, I'm going to Uncle Wes's house. And my dad was like, all right, strap in. My dad strapped in for the next till present day.
Oh, nice, yeah, man.
I remember we got to Wes's house, and we all took shots of vodka. And first thing Wes said to me, he was like, so, he goes, you drink liquor now? And I'm like, yeah. And Wes was 17, 16 at this point.
Yeah.
He's like, when are you going to smoke a bowl with me? And I'm like, what's a bowl? And the rest is history.
Nice.
But we listened to...
well, I'll tell you.
We listened to Porcupine Tree. That was the first time I ever listened to Porcupine Tree. We listened to Deadwing.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
And...
that was like the house band for...
yeah.
Yeah. Deadwing is a good album. Fucking really, like, all of their shit is really good.
I remember when Storm Corrosion came out. Remember when that came out? When it was Michael Akerfeldt and Steven Wilson's.
Yeah, that was like a big event. I didn't like it that much. I mean, it was okay.
It was fucking way too trippy for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still.
As a stoned 14-year-old?
Even
it
now,
was out there.
It's
it was
way,
definitely
it's
out
very
there.
Experimental. But yeah, I remember Matt. Gabe was with us. It was his birthday, and we went out and we picked him up from his birthday party, and we went to that record store by Fu Chau City, and we bought Rush Moving Pictures. We bought the Steve Miller Band Greatest Hits.
I have Moving Pictures on vinyl.
Yeah,
but I don't have a record player.
Yeah, we had.
I just like to know that I have it.
Yeah, it's just like a. I also have Opeth Blackwater Park on vinyl.
That's insane. But yeah, we got. Moving Pictures on vinyl. We got Steve Miller Band's Greatest Hits, the one with the blue background with the orange horse head.
Yeah, yeah.
We got that on vinyl, and then we got Talking Heads Speaking in Tongues on vinyl. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to Wes's house and had like a little after party, and we just got trashed and listened to all those records and played Street Fighter.
Sick.
Dude, the year of 2011 will always be my favorite year of my life, because that was when I met all of you guys. And it was just awesome. Just... meeting people, and I was like, oh, these guys are only going to like me because I'm Wes's little cousin. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, we're going to be friends 7 years from now.
I didn't, yeah. Like, yeah. I didn't like 2011 because I met you.
And you were like, fuck, I'm
going to
be, shit
God, going
you were like, fuck, I'm gonna be stuck with this kid for the rest of my life.
Cool. Damn it. The beginning of the end.
Yeah. Fucking comes over and drinks my fucking whiskey.
Yeah. Decanter is sliding closer.
Move the decanter.
I just want to touch this fucking thing.
It's made of glass.
Oh, sweet.
I think, what album do you think means the most to you emotionally? Like, in general? Like if you were going to meet somebody and they were like, hey... you know, or like a therapist or a doctor or something, like, hey, what music album should I listen to front to back to understand you the most?
Might be Opeth Ghost Reveries.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think mine is The Killers' Sawdust.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Am I getting that right? Yeah.
talked about the Killers. You guys ever listen to Killers? Yeah, we talked about them last day.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, how they're just such a strange, unique sound.
Yeah.
You could pick a killer sound or a killer song out of like a fucking haystack.
True.
Of sounds.
it's got an upbeat sound, but it's also kind of emotional.
His voice, we were talking about his voice is like electronic and stoic, but also has so much emotion in it.
His
voice is crazy to me.
I had one of the original iPods. Well, no, like the second iPod that came out. And Jake Bear actually hooked me up with a shitload of music. And we were at a party in like a garage. And he came over and he got his external hard drive and he put it on the floor. And he's like, all right, I'm going to give you all my music now, which is a shitload. And you know how many gigs the iPod had. he's like, but we can't touch the cord or else it's going to fuck it
up. That was when 4 gigabytes was a ton.
Yeah, right?
And now all of a sudden...
I had like 38 gigs or some shit.
And then if you had one video on your iPod, you were fucked. Because it would take up all your space.
So he's like, don't touch the cord or we'll fuck it up. So we did, obviously. We were kicking it around the floor accidentally while drinking.
Immediately touches the cord.
And so when we unplug it and we all leave that night, I look at my iPod and I've got every Frank Sinatra song for some reason.
Of course you do.
And I've got every David Bowie song, thank God. That was sweet. Mm-hmm. And then all the Killers songs and like some White Stripes stuff. Yeah. So instead of a billion songs, I got all the albums from these guys. So I had the iPod for a long time. And I took it with me on my cross-country trip on the motorcycle. And I listened to the Killers a lot when I was in the desert. Mm-hmm. Because that's pretty much all I had.
Yeah.
And what's incredible was like listening to the Killers and the dude, like Brandon Flowers, the guy, the lead singer.
Oh, not the cornerback for the Chiefs. Wait. Different Brandon Flowers.
Wait.
He's like an 80 overall.
But I think that that dude's like a Mormon, right? So
yeah.
And they're all in Utah and shit, but like screw Mormons, but
Wow. Wow, that's gonna kill half of one of all our of fans.
all your ratings. Our fan base is primarily Mormon.
Yeah. They're all from Salt Lake.
Yeah. We talk about Joseph Smith quite a bit on this.
Yeah, so listening to the Killers and shit, all this like super ambient rock while cruising on a motorcycle through the desert, and there's nobody there.
I gotta check and make sure I flushed the toilet. I don't know if I did.
Oh, okay. But you see the painted hills and shit like that. All this amazing scenery. And it's like the most incredible loneliness that I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, it was almost like cleansing in a way. Just being alone out there where not much is, like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And somebody did. I think I did.
Okay, the basement one?
No, the regular one.
Oh, okay.
There's, I don't know. There's a lot of people that... There's honestly a lot of places in this country where there ain't shit.
Yeah.
So you can drive for miles and miles and miles and see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even... Sometimes not even another fucking vehicle. You know?
Yeah.
The country's fucking huge and everybody's packed into certain areas, so...
I've seen a lot of corn, guys.
Yeah.
My dudes.
Like in your shit?
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of places.
With corn?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's honestly, it's weird because a lot of people don't listen to albums anymore, like as a full album. It's a lot of singles and shit, the way that everything's digitized.
Everything's shuffled now, man.
Yeah. That was a thing that was brought up way back when iTunes became a thing. I remember that, where artists were upset because they would put out these structured albums and people would listen to, like, you know, the one or two.
They'd pick and choose a hit or two, you know. It's like,
I mean, you could find somebody that... You know, they hand you their phone or their Spotify or whatever, and it's like, oh, cool, Pink Floyd, and then all of a sudden there's like Another Brick in the Wall, and like Wish You Were Here, and Comfortably Numb.
That's why I like Between the Buried
B-sides.
And Me.
No
B-sides. Yeah.
Because Between the Buried and Me, the way they put their songs together, it'll end on like a note that's like a cliffhanger.
That's what Pink Floyd does.
And then the next song
too.
Will come in, boom, like with that next note.
That's pretty cool.
It's almost like they split their songs just at a random spot. They're just like, well, this is time for the end of the song.
Yeah, for sure.
So like when you hear the end of the song, you're like, oh shit, like next.
So wait, what album was it by the Killers? Because I'm gonna put on my phone.
Sawdust. I'm pretty sure I had every fucking album. So, it was always. I don't even think I listened to a full album. I probably just put Killers on shuffle.
Yeah.
But they got that's a lot what of
I do
songs.
In the car, though. I just have a playlist, and it's just on shuffle with like all the like some songs that I know I want to listen to, and a lot of songs that I know already.
Mm-hmm. Which one was it? It wasn't Hot Fuss, was it?
I mean, there's Hot a couple Fuss good is... couple good songs on Hot Fuss. Yeah, there's... So yeah, I'm bullshitting you guys. What mm-hmm. I meant was like I had a couple songs from each album.
Hot Fuss is a good album.
Yeah, it is.
I have Hot Fuss on my phone already.
Nice.
Yeah,
I can't listen to it because of Mr. Brightside. We talked about that the other day. Mr. Brightside by The Killers and then Black by Pearl Jam, I blacklisted for my life.
Yeah, because the association you make?
Yes, yeah.
Fuck, yeah. Tell me about it, man. Or don't, you know.
Oh, no,
you
no.
To. It's too emotional.
I talked about it Tuesday when Seth and I did our episode 56. Mr. Brightside was a song that I liked, and then I had my first, like, actual relationship in high school, and listened to that song after that was over, after that person, and she still is completely cut out of my life. And I listened to that song again, and I, like, fucking...
Jealousy.
I broke the fuck shit, down.
Dude. This is explaining everything I'm feeling. Awesome. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Porcupine Grand, Tree. Wonderful. Porcupine Tree was another one, because we weren't, like, romantically involved, but it was a girl that was, like, her and I were best friends, and we would just, like, you know, we'd hang out, we'd paint together, we'd play video games together, we'd spend all the time together, and we listen to Porcupine Tree together all the time, and I can't really listen to Porcupine Tree the same way.
That's what you're going to love about getting into your later 20s. You really start giving less of a shit about it.
Yeah. That's great. I've gotten to that point now. Somebody, this past Saturday, I won't tell you who, but we were hanging out, and somebody called me a sociopath, and I was like, that doesn't sound too bad. Just being completely disconnected from
that'd be refreshing.
From any emotional tangibility in my life.
Yeah.
Just, then you can just take a socio vacation, just like a week where I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That he could just become and he a explained Twitter
it.
Troll.
He was like, "Well, it's because you say these things to get reactions out of people, and you always."
That's what I mean. You could just create a fake Twitter. Yeah, and he's just like, "Well,
he was." This person in question was like, "You've always done that, but it's at the point now where you don't even get anything out of the reactions. You just get reactions. You just
habitual.
You just want that shit in the air.
You
man.
Just get reactions out of people just because you know you can." And I was like, "I guess if that makes me a sociopath, I guess it works."
Yeah.
He's like, do you ever feel bad because of the way that you make people feel sometimes? And I'm like, no. Because people have been making me feel shitty for my entire life, and it feels good to flip the script.
Yeah.
I was going to say, my album that really got me was probably The Division Bell by Pink Floyd.
I think it was The Pick of Destiny.
But recently, and it's total recency bias.
Slicing his fucking cockles.
I want
and shiny blade.
I Want to Die in New Orleans by the Suicide Boys is a good one too.
I've never heard of that there, but that's pretty sweet name and song.
The Suicide Boys are good, but it's only if you really like angsty, edgy, like trap
people
rap
with
music.
Tattoos on their face.
People with tattoos on their eyelids. All right, too.
So no.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't like it. I can play you a song and that'll gauge you, but no, because that album is basically about how they originally started this rap project because they were both they had all these emotions bottled up inside, and they were addicted to drugs, and that they're both finally sober now, and it's their first cohesive project with them being sober and dealing with sobriety and their emotions and their influences.
Like
that's
being,
what I get out of it, basically.
Being clean and being like clean, having to do this again.
Having to deal with it.
Having to do the thing that you've been doing.
Having all these pressures. But
now sober.
Yeah, and having to make all this music and trying to figure out, like, they realize that, like, a lot of people like their music because they were on all these drugs. And now all of a sudden, they're making when you look at that project compared to all their other stuff, it has a structure. Their songs
have
verses
and
hooks and stuff.
To me, that whole thing is a mental block. Just their own mental block. It's in your head.
Yeah.
Because obviously you have the ability to create this music.
Yes.
And so it doesn't have anything to do with the fucking substance abuse.
Yeah.
It's not. It's in there.
It has more.
You have the innate ability. You know how to do it. It's just a matter of figuring out how to do it without relying on that. And if you can do that, then you know that you don't need to do that shit anymore, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they have a few songs on that album that are just, you know, you listen to it and it's like, oh, this is just like a, like a rap song that you're gonna nod your head to, and then all of a sudden you listen deeper and deeper into it, and you're like, oh wow, these guys are actually, you know.
Well, there's also times
where they were struggling the whole time, and people just kind of took advantage of it because through their struggle, they were making this music.
Yeah. There's also times where people think that artists are on something, and they're not. Like Tim and Eric.
Like I was just going to say,
they don't even really smoke weed. And everybody thinks that they're just on mushrooms and smoking weed all the time when they write their shit, but they don't. Honestly, a lot of it is just the way it's edited. Like Doug Pound and shit. It's like the cutaways and edits and shit are what makes that show, really.
Because it puts timing to the comedy, right?
Yeah.
It's just, you ever notice how something's way funnier when, like, there's, like, a prolonged action? Like, someone's, like, yelling or laughing wicked fucking hard, and you just, like, cut it immediately, and suddenly it's hilarious?
Yeah.
What is with that? It's probably because in the back of your mind, you know they're probably still doing that, even though you're onto some other shit now.
Yeah. There's definitely a, like, there's definitely an art to editing, and you can create humor out of all that, which is very strange. It's not the material itself. It's the editing.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should just cut these podcasts up and make them as as artificial as possible.
Insert laugh.
Yeah, that's the thing about these is they're not artificial at all. They're just completely natural.
It's, that's what our goal has always been, is just
bullshitting, like, with a mic in front of your face.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Like, you know, Seth and I have said multiple times, like, we have so much fun hanging out with our friends and shooting the shit. Like, why not just bottle that up and just release it into the fucking cloud of the internet?
Yeah.
And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But
and I even think, either way, we have it as a thing we can revisit.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. It's like,
almost like a library of memories that you have.
Yeah. And then, like, whoever is in charge, like, can take our personalities and shit, and, like, we're recording it, right? So, like, they'll put all that information together and make avatars out of us.
Yeah. Eventually they'll just take all of our sound clips and make us say whatever we want, or they want.
It's like, it's almost, they'll get, like
they're gonna create a soundboard of us one day.
Sweet. I can't wait. I'm constantly thinking about that one Black Mirror episode where it's like two chicks that are young and they're like in the 80s. Have you guys seen this episode?
I don't think Black Mirror.
No. It's like the only like positive episode I've ever seen of that show.
Maybe I haven't seen that one.
Is that, I've only seen like four or five of them.
Yes.
Into a computer, I probably have seen that one.
Yeah, man.
I need water. I'm feeling really weird right now.
Is it because you're hungry and you've got a bunch of caffeine in you?
I think it's because I'm hungry and I have caffeine and booze in me right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, I know what you feel.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get more.
Caffeine makes me hungrier though. Like, true. it gets my stomach like rumbly.
Mm. I'm gonna steal a banana too, because I'm feeling really lightheaded.
They're not even green bananas, dude.
Oh, the green ones.
Yeah, you were saying.
Black Mirror, like, that seems really cool, that episode, where...
The thing is, that show, like, does a lot of things where, like, they're plausible scenarios, like, with the way technology's moving.
Yeah.
So, like, they take those and they put them, they kind of put you into that future, in a way. They show what can be bad about it.
True. And that's what, like, gets you, because the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Ex Machina?
That's with, like, the robotic chick, right? No.
Yeah, that one's
interesting. I know, I can see it. Like, I have, like, a memory of seeing
it. I think it's on Netflix still. Of it. It's kind of like a long episode of Black Mirror, basically. Hmm. It's, you know... Basically, they're just developing AI that's super smart, and it's, you know, dealing with that, how it thinks it's a real human and shit, and how it can manipulate people.
Right. It's like,
when you make an AI that's that smart, it's calculating everything perfectly, really.
It's like the replicants in Blade Runner.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even know.
Did you see the new Blade Runner?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It was cool.
I heard it was really good.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, low-key, which is really nice. Like we were talking about oversaturation with CGI and shit. They only used it like when they had to. And it was more of like a noir film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's kind of the style of it anyway, really.
Yeah.
I need to watch all of Black Mirror, though. Probably should finish it. It's kind of like a modern day Twilight Zone.
True. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Twilight Zone was so ahead of its time, too.
True.
That like, shit was ridiculous.
The original one?
Yeah.
You know that dude's from Syracuse?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
The fuck is his name?
Rod Serling.
Rod Sterling, yeah.
Serling.
Yeah, yeah, just something like
drop
that.
Drop the T.
There's no T?
Motherfucker? No.
Damn.
That guy's cool. He's a classy bastard, too.
Yeah. He was in the original, like, when he went to Disney in the Tower of Terror. He was like did like the video like the intro
fuck
video.
Off. That
like
is
you
so
go into
cool.
the you go into like this lobby, and whoever's on it ahead of you is going or whatever, and you're waiting, and they put you in a lobby and they show you like an intro, like it would be like the Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you're in an episode of the Twilight Zone,
dude,
and like you're on a elevator that drops. Like the whole ride is just an elevator that drops.
Okay.
And I guess what it is it's an episode where you're in an elevator and it drops like into the past or some shit. Like
that's
like
cool.
You change. it's basically a time machine. It gets like the tower gets struck by lightning or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you drop and fall. It's
is
a pretty sick ride.
In Disneyland or Disney,
Disney World?
World
in Florida.
Fuck. Okay. Because me and my lady were saving up.
Might be one of Disneyland shit. Too, though. Who knows?
I hope so. I want to go because we're me and my girlfriend are saving up money to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
California. Because I just wanted to see the OG, the original Disneyland.
Because Tower of Terror was like a flagship attraction. So okay. It could be in California, too.
Because
I've never been to that one. I've never been half, like, past, like, mid. The like middle of the United States mm-hmm. to the west. I've never been to the west coast.
I've been to California a few times. My grandfather was stationed in Florida during World War II. Mm. He was a searchlight operator. So like big ass round spotlights.
Super bright, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how much wattage those things are fucking pulling.
Dude. Changing the light bulb on the fucking thing.
There has to be so Dink. Much shit going through that. So much power.
But they... I remember like this little pamphlet from like the reunion. It's called the 152nd Searchlight Division in Florida. And they adopted Dumbo as their mascot. Because that was right around the time when Walt Disney was making
Dumbo. Dumbo
build.
Was getting big, you know?
Yeah, dude. He's on the up.
It's getting windy outside.
But yeah, it was like, that was their mascot, and like Dumbo was like holding a flashlight in his trunk. And yeah. But anyway, I wonder what, I just want to go to California again.
Yeah.
Nice temperate ass climate.
I want to try In-N-Out, dude.
Yeah.
That's like the main reason I want to go. Everybody talks about how great it is. I don't know. I like, I don't know. A lot of people say Disney World is better, but I don't know. Because obviously I've never been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World like six times.
Yeah. Oh, really? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Why six times?
We used to go like every couple of years or whatever. I don't know. Okay. It was just the only thing we would save up for, really, vacation, you know, every couple of years. Hmm. Otherwise, we'd go to like, during the summer, we might go to like Cedar Point or something. You ever been there?
No.
It's in Ohio.
Okay.
It's like the roller coaster mecca of the world. There's like 16 roller coasters. It's all roller coasters, like the whole place.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's one of the best parks that there is, really, if you're a thrill ride person.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz it's like in Disney you get like a lot of like casual rides like a 3D movie with like interactive shit or like
true. I dig that shit.
It's all casual stuff and it's great, mm-hmm. but it's not like if you're just going for thrills, it's fucking Cedar Point is the spot.
That's cool.
And it's not expensive. I mean, it's maybe $75 for like the Fast Pass Plus and shit. So mm-hmm. you're gonna ride everything. That's the thing is, if you're gonna do it,
did you get sick of shit after a while?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking. We have to every time I go there, I have to do all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like you are definitely gonna get sick. Unless you take like a bunch of Dramamine or something.
Have you ever been to... great. Of course I forget the name. It's like a little... There's a lake like north of Syracuse. This little fucking town that has like this amusement park that's straight out of Scooby-Doo. It's like 1950s style amusement park. It's tiny.
Huh.
The fuck is it called? Sylvan Beach?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. I've never been there.
So my girlfriend and I went there, and like my buddy has like a cabin. We go there every summer for like a week, and the rides are terrifying just because they're old, and then the safety regulations were non-existent back in the day. But there's this thing that we wanted to try so hard that was it's called the rotor. It's just called the rotor because it rotates.
Like, naturally, wicked. Good name for it.
Thoughtful name. So we go up there and there's nobody there, of course. It's like the place is haunted. Like, so many people don't work here that there's like one guy that runs all these rides. And my girlfriend and I go up, and it looks like when you're looking down in this thing, you walk up a ramp and then you walk around the circle. So it's like this big washing machine tube. And for a second when I looked at it, I thought it was going to be like one of those, like when the dirt bikes that go around the fucking walls. Yeah, yeah. I thought it looked exactly like one of those.
They have the like water slides that do that.
Yeah.
They're like like a toilet bowl.
Yeah, they got one in Fulton.
And then you just, and
then you just drop through the bottom.
Some shit, yeah.
Things just shit you out.
Yeah.
But this thing was broken. So.
It's not good.
We got this dude, like, okay, so the walls used to be covered in carpet. But you know how you rip up strands of carpet and it becomes that spiky, plasticky bullshit? That was basically the walls now. There's no carpet anymore. Yeah. It's just that. So thank God that's going to like stick you to the wall painfully, but it's going to still stick you to the wall.
Mm.
Because the guy's like, all right, man, so this thing's going to spin. You guys tuck in your shoelaces because I don't want them getting caught on the thing. We're like, what thing? He's like, oh, yeah, the floor's going to drop out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So it's spinning and like we're against the wall. Our shoelaces are tucked in. It's starting to go, and it's like fucking sluggish as shit. Whoa.
Yeah. Eventually, that's when you get sick. But like once it starts going and the gravity's pushing you against the wall, you're not really feeling like
that's
you're
definitely part of the story. It's like, so it's going, and the dude's like above it, like he's got his arms crossed, like leaning over the thing, just watching us. And it's at top speed right now, and it's not fast at all. So the dude's trying to have conversation with us. We're opposite with each other, just like looking up. The sun's shining on us, like you see the shadows and shit.
I'm sorry.
And he's like, so how long you guys been in town? It's like, well, dude, we're kind of busy right now. We're on this shitty roller coaster spinning ride.
Yeah, I can't do spinning rides anymore. It's just too much.
So at that point, when the dude's trying to talk to us, that's when the fucking floor is dropping. It doesn't just drop out. It's like, it just lowers.
Slowly goes down.
So.
I know they have the one that they sometimes bring to Harbor. No, not Harbor Fest.
They bring to the
State Fair. Yeah.
What's it called? It's like the Galaxy?
The UFO.
Something 9000. Starship 9000 or something.
That sounds about right. So we're not spinning fast enough for this thing to stick us to the wall. So the floor drops out. Like, we're just like slightly. We're like slowly, oh shit. And like the crappy carpet that used to be carpet spikes are ripping into our fucking shirts. We're like, shit. And like we eventually, like we're crouched basically. We're doing like a Roman chair like thing on the wall. And it sucks so bad. And then suddenly the floor starts coming up. But we're still stuck to the damn wall. We're still pulling at least a G. And so then we're like, we're on chair this, so we gotta fucking lift ourselves up and scrape our own backs against this shitty ass thing. And we stand up again.
Why were they carpet?
Because it's make any soft sense. In the 50s. That's I guess that's their cushioning. Back in the day. We get up and our fucking legs hurt, and it's slow enough where we're sick to our fucking stomachs.
Yeah.
And like, I don't get sick from anything ever, but this had the perfect velocity.
I used to like those like cars with like, you could probably fit like four people in them, and they had a wheel in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And you could spin them as hard as you want.
Yeah.
And spin around. Totally. I used to love those. Yeah, basically.
Yep.
But like, I I can't do it anymore. No. It's just fucking not. It's not good.
I can only do roller coasters.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, pretty much.
It's like the Bud Light of amusement park rides.
That's what I mean. Well, there's like... That's what I was talking about Cedar Point is, you know, it's all roller coasters. That's, maybe that's not in Ohio. I don't even remember where it is.
Cedar Point isn't. It's Ohio.
It's in Ohio? Okay. That's Dorney. Up, I'm thinking Dorney Park.
No, I haven't yet. Oh,
okay. Which was Dorney?
I literally ate a banana and all that chocolate, and I immediately feel better.
Nice, yeah, dude.
That was dangerous. I was, like, straight dizzy.
Yeah, man.
Then there's Hershey Park in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that place is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, man, it's 4:30.
Yeah.
Is it? Ooh, wait!
Holy crap.
It's 4:30.
Hey, don't you have shit to do?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. What shit you got to do?
Just, I gotta get naked.
I mean, don't let us
Are we watching UFC here? What's up?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know if I'm gonna even watch it. I might just watch the Reddit shit afterwards.
Wait, so what are you doing?
Just jacking off, probably.
No.
I gotta go get a Ruby Tuesday salad. They paid me to say that.
Oh. They paid you to say that.
They called me right before you guys called me.
Yeah. To be they were like, thing. Yeah, you know what? I heard you guys are going
to
be on.
So. I need to get a Little Caesars pizza in my stomach.
Yeah, dude, God. We're going to make so much money from all these promos.
I would love a ride to the pizza portal.
Someone bring me to the portal.
I'm not fucking walking there. That's for damn straight.
The pizza portal is great. It's one of the best inventions ever, honestly. You just place your order on your phone, and then you go just push your buttons in the store, and then you grab it. Then you walk out. You don't have to talk to any humans.
A pizza slot. A pizza slot.
There's no humans you have to talk to.
The fuck is my pizza portal account password?
You have an account? Oh, yeah. You have to have one. All right, we did 50 minutes. Also, I want to show...
Let's edit all that shit out.
Yeah, let's get rid of all that. I want to show one cool thing that I found the other day. It's a sport, I guess.
All right.
It's called Cowboy Pinball.
Hell yeah, dude.
So these people are out of their minds, first of all. Jesus. Anytime you get in a pen with a bull, you're pretty dumb.
Guaranteed bad idea.
So these people just stand on these circles. And then they release a bull, and it's whoever stays on their circle the longest.
Whoa.
It's the dumbest,
beautiful,
most southern bullshit I've ever heard of.
Man. Makes me glad I didn't stay in the south.
And the problem is you're at a disadvantage if you're like the first circle, you know?
For sure, yeah.
That guy gets railed.
Everybody just kind of stands there while
he's only going to go after one guy. Like, now he's
good. Get back in your circle.
It's gotta suck because you have to stay there. Like, that's the whole point.
Just
of
watch
the game.
This dude get mauled.
These guys, I can't even believe these people.
Yeah, dude, we got a bowl. We're going to stand on these ones. We're going to stand on these circles.
This is another bowl.
Look at, he's not even going for him, though. They're all winning right now. Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh. That guy got out of his circle. What a bitch.
Huh.
Yeah.
I guess that dude is winning.
So that's Cowboy Pinball. I nice. Just wanted to show that because I
fuck
them
if they're dumb enough to stand in the circles.
It seems like a horrible sport. I just don't get that whole bullfighting shit. Like the running of the bulls or whatever, where everybody just runs from a bull. What is the significance?
Oh, man.
I guess that's
just to be idiots.
It's a culture thing.
Hilarious,
I guess. But it's a pretty dumb culture.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain
Spanish
point,
laughter ensues.
Yeah. At a certain point, culture becomes like it stops mattering when you are releasing a bull to injure you. Like that is the point of it.
Yeah.
I guess bull riding is kind of a sport, right?
I guess, dude.
You gotta have like an ability for it, but yeah. That.
You
don't need an ability for. You just stand.
Yeah.
And hope you don't get hit by a bull.
Balls of steel. Balls of steel.
You just got to be the guy in the front of the running with the bulls. Because then if you're in the front, he has to go through all those other people first.
That's a lot of bodies, man. He's going to get, like, pretty annoyed of the same thing.
And then in that, if you're just in the circle in the back, you're fine.
Are you really going to Ruby Tuesday for a salad?
You betcha, dude.
Of course he is.
Would I be able to get a lift to the Little Caesars Pizza Portal that's right there?
All
right.
Is this a separate building from Little Caesars?
No.
They just set up portals around town?
It's in the Little Caesars building, yeah.
Oh, okay.
If I give you a big open mouth kiss.
Oh, it was sick. Could it be on film?
Don't even test me. I made out with Zach Patrick already in front of people.
In this room.
No.
I'll be the first one on this room.
On a leather couch.
Okay, wow.
That's even more sexual.
I can hear the squeaking.
The only people I've ever kissed in this room have been Seth and asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seth and asleep. Seth asleep.
Separately.
A woman named asleep. Jesus. Well, I'm sorry that I wasn't really here for the second part of the podcast. I had that violent shit, and then I had my blood sugar was non-existent.
You had like your
almost
HP,
enough to have an out of body experience.
Yeah. Your HP was at like 10.
I would never survive a fast.
You
let
had
me
like
tell you that,
two and a half hearts on the screen.
Yeah. I would never survive a fast, dude.
No thanks.
Theo Von talks about how he fasted for 4 days that one time. I could not do that shit. Okay. I could not. I couldn't
I
even
mean,
fast
I also
for 24 hours.
Want to, you know?
Yeah, man. Life's too short. What
I
if
literally,
you die
I literally
in
had
24
me
hours.
24 hours in it.
Great.
Yeah, life's too short. You should fill your body with calories.
Yeah.
That should be the goal.
Step one, life.
Step one, calories.
Yeah.
Step two.
How to eat them.
All right, man. Thank you for coming. It was fun.
Is this what he does after every podcast? He climbs and disappears behind the couch.
I mean, I don't know. He is unpredictable.
I am very unpredictable.
Wild card.
He flies by the seat of his pants. Is that what they say?
Those hot pants.
The seat or seed?
The seed in my pants.
I don't know, something like that.
The drip.
Okay, guys.
That is how the thing goes.
We'll see you next week.
For sure.
Can you guys delete all of that?
ClearShotsPodcast.com is where you'll find links to everything we do. You can check us out on Twitter at ClearShotsPod. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on Periscope for live videos. If you have anything you want to ask us, send us an email at ClearShotsPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.